A Mucky Business with Tim Farron.
Hello, I'm Tim Farron, and this is A Mucky Business with a difference. I'm not on my own. We have a live audience. Say hello, live audience. I didn't even prime them to do that. They're awesome. So I'm not on my own, and I am with Rachel McLean, Baroness McLean of Redditch, former Conservative MP for Redditch, former Conservative Minister in the last government. And we have with us Ruth Jones, who is the Labour MP for Newport West and the chair of the Welsh Select Committee. I'm just checking that's right. Yeah, good, excellent. I'm just looking in your eyes to see if I'm not completely made a hideous mistake. My name is Tim Farron. I'm the Liberal Democrat MP for Westmorland and Lonsdale. And just so you know, here we are in a room just off Westminster Hall in the Houses of Parliament, which is the oldest bit of the Palace of Westminster. It's Norman. It's getting on for 1,000 years old. During the war, when Westminster Hall and the House of Commons got bombed on the same night, they decided to let the Commons burn and protect this bit because they thought it was older, more valuable and more interesting. And so it is. And we have with us an audience of people from a whole range of backgrounds. Many of them listeners to the podcast. Some of them just probably just walked in and just because there's some wine at the back. But we're really grateful. The other exciting fact is we're about 2 minutes walk or dash from the House of Commons chamber. And for Ruth and I, there's going to be a vote on the Children Wellbeing Bill sometime in the next few minutes. So there'll be an exciting moment when the bell goes and we leave Rachel in charge. She can tell you what you like and what she likes, and we'll not find out until the show comes out. So there we go. So I'm going to first of all turn to Rachel and Ruth in turn and ask what I always do for our guests on A Mucky Business and tell us a little bit about their faith. So, Rachel, I'll start with you. Tell me why you're a Christian.
Oh, well, Tim, thank you for having me. It's a real pleasure and delight. And actually, one of the things that we'll probably come on to, but one of the best things about being an MP was discovering the APPG for Christians in Parliament, which was an enormous source of strength for me in the last sort of few months and years of the outgoing government that I was part of, as Tim has mentioned. But I became a Christian because I was just born to a Christian mother. So I was just taken to Sunday school when I was little and probably quite typical, didn't particularly like it and waved in and out. As I became a teenager, there was a very active youth group, Bible study group, in my local area. And I went to that, and it was an interpretation of the Bible, the biblical stories, that started to resonate with me. But the most meaningful experience for me was becoming a mother and having a family of my own and thinking, what actually do I want to pass on to my children? How do I want to bring them up? What are the things I want to instill into them? And so that was when myself and my husband, we decided we were just going to commit to taking our children to church. And that's what we did. And obviously over 30 years ago. And since then, I would describe myself as probably, you know, quite mediocre in some ways as a Christian, if I can say that frankly. I've not always been fantastic at attending church or reading the Bible or praying. But I think that the faith for me has come into play much more strongly since I've become an MP and I've been involved in politics. And that's where I've really had to think about my faith and the support that I get from being a Christian and following, you know, the words of God and the words of Christ. And that for me has been, it's been very much in this environment here that has strengthened my commitment to living out those values in my life.
Thanks, Rachel. You mentioned the Bible study groups we have here for MPs and indeed members of the House of Lords as well. And both Rachel and Ruth have been members of a Bible study group that I'm absolutely honoured to be part of. And it's a great thing. Wednesday morning, kind of first thing, group of us from all different political backgrounds, different wings of different political parties who share a faith in Jesus Christ and spend time studying the Bible together and praying for one another and carrying one of those burdens, and what goes in Bible study group stays in Bible study group. So Ruth, tell me a little bit about your journey. Why are you a Christian?
So I must say Newport West and Isloin is the constituency,
yes.
Because otherwise we've hacked off 50% of my constituents.
Understood.
So Isloin is very important, and I love my constituents, all of them. But yes, so I went, a bit like Rachel, I was taken to church from the age of 3 by my nan, who decided I needed taking to church. And then I became a Christian at 14, and being a Baptist chapel, obviously chapel in South Wales, isn't it? It's gonna be, I was dunked. And so I've been a Christian ever since. A bit like Rachel, sort of in and out. University was a bit of a fallow period. And then fortunately come into a brilliant church, and churches through the ages. But this place makes you realise you've got to put up because you can't shut up. And it's really important that you don't have to declare from the rooftops, because people know, they know after a while, and they sort of go, you're a God botherer, are you? Yes, I am, you know. And that's fine. I don't mind that, because I'm fortunate, because I'm older. I came in as an older person. I'm not, you know, 25 or whatever. I've done my bit, and I can now say, yes, I am a Christian. You deal with it. I don't have to.
Well, now, Ruth, thank you very much. What I think we do find as Christians in politics is that we're in a time today where it's certainly said that it feels more polarised than it was when most of us entered the world of politics. So I guess my first question, I'll start with you, Rachel, is do you think that's true? And if you do think it's true, how do Christians deal with that?
Yeah, I think it is true, Tim. I really do. And you've been in Parliament longer than me, I think, haven't you? When were you elected?
2005.
Yes.
I was 11.
Yes, okay. Yeah, you were.
Oh, I wasn't
yes,
11.
You were a young lad. So I was elected in 2017, and that, as we sort of probably remember, was just after the Brexit referendum and all the shenanigans that we had in Parliament then. And it was so divisive, and, you know, you were in then. You came in later. But it was just, it was a horrible, awful time. Yeah. The tone and the debates were quite violent. They were aggressive, not only in Parliament, but also when we went back to our constituencies. The divisions that we had in those communities. Ah, that's the division bell.
That is literally a division bell. But keep going.
Okay. and so, yes, it's very aggressive. And, of course, with the rise of social media, that just enables people to be a keyboard warrior and fling stuff at you. And for me, the way I dealt with it, we all have to develop our own strategies, is just have a really sure sense of myself and what I was doing. Mm. And you get to the point where you know that people are not going to agree with you, but you have to be so clear about what you're doing and why you're doing it. Yes, have a debate, but also go back to those roots of those things that you care about. Remind yourself why you're doing it. You know, you sign up to serving a community and serving the people, and that's what you're there to do. And you do have to pray. And you do have to ask for guidance sometimes, because these decisions are not easy. But I think it comes back to that inner sense of strength. And that's where I needed to often go back and, you know, pray and ask for help and support and guidance. Because it is pretty tough sometimes keeping going and keeping encouraged.
And those were, I mean, polarisation, maybe it's moved on. But I would say those years during the 17 to 19 Parliament, when Theresa May had no majority, so every vote, either votes didn't happen at all, or they were life and death.
They
were nip and tuck, and one of them was a tie. There's that picture of John Bercow having to decide what to do when there was a vote, there was a draw.
Yes.
And so I think we're going to hold that thought there. Ruth has got 5 minutes to make her mind of what she says now. She's great. So we're going to talk about polarisation, but just to, I should say, in the votes we've had this evening so far, I've been in the opposite lobbies to Ruth, except for one where we abstained. But you'll be pleased to hear, Ruth, that we're voting with you on this one. So we'll walk hand in hand through the I lobby and back in a few minutes. And this is Parliament in Action. See you soon.
A Mucky Business with Tim Farron.
Well, we're back. And for listeners who can't see this, but we can, in the corner of the room is what's called the monitor. It's a TV screen, a green TV screen, and it says what's going on in Parliament. And so what has just happened was the third reading of the Children Wellbeing Bill, which the government won. I voted with the government. Not that often that those things happen, but and I was just asked by one of the members of the audience, did I win? I said, well, sort of. It's a bit like somebody who, you know, is in the stands and their team wins and they say, we won, but you had absolutely no influence whatsoever in the result. They'd have won without me. But we're going to carry on. So Ruth and I have just been through a division, but we've been on the same side. We were talking about polarisation and division, Rachel. So Ruth, Do you think, so you entered Parliament in 2019 and you, we'll just say on the way back over here, so you kind of missed the kind of horrors of the Brexit division during that Parliament and you joined us just as this became not the Brexit Parliament but the Plague Parliament as COVID began. But what's been your experience? Do you feel politics today is more polarised than it was?
Yeah, so I came in on a by-election in the April of 2019, so before the general election in the December. So I just coming in on your own as one person is quite an interesting, you know, you haven't got a cohort to relate to. Your WhatsApp groups, have, you know, there's the 19 group, the 17 group, whatever. But there is a by-election group, don't panic, we're okay, that's fine. And there's a few of us. But yeah, so I came in to, at the end, the tail end of all the shenanigans in terms of that. And then we had Boris Johnson doing his, you know, get Brexit done and all that stuff. And we, I suppose that's probably when I thought it started polarising, because we went into, are you a Brexiteer? Are you a Remona? You know, and it was very much, which side are you? And nobody was in the middle. And it was very much, people took a side. And I think lots of people still take sides. And I think that's a problem because sometimes I'm on one side and sometimes I'm on the other side, depending on what the debate is about. And I think that's one of the things as MPs, we are sent here to make up our own minds. We're not sort of mandated to, you must vote this way because X number of constituents said. You're here to listen to the arguments and to make up your own mind, as well, of course, as being heavily subject to the whips and what they think, you know. But, yeah, so I think outside of Parliament, things have become more polarised. And I think, as Rachel said about, you know, the keyboard warriors, there's an awful lot of that. And when you actually talk to people in the street, they're very much nicer. They're very much more, oh, well, we didn't like what you did there, but thank you for doing that. And so when you talk to people face to face, it's a very different story. But what frightens me more is the sort of the Elon Musk in the ether. You can't control that sort of thing because it's outside of borders. So you can't legislate in the UK for what's coming in over the Ethernet, internet, whatever you call it. And it's just, I think that worries me more. But, you know, looking at the Bible, you know, the Revelation talks about, you know, false teachings and all the rest of it. And, you know, people will go the wrong way. So I'm just thinking, okay, in our Bible study we had, you know, hold fast, hold, you know, keep the faith, because this is all part of God's plan.
I think that's the way to stay sane throughout all of this. I think you're right, Ruth. Do we think that Christians have a particular part to play? How do we relate? Because we'll think different things. We might find ourselves on one side, on one pole or another. How do we relate differently to what is apparently, at least on the face of it, a very divided society? Rachel, what do you think?
Well, I think it's our duty as Christians to listen compassionately to all the arguments, even if we're from one political tradition that may not necessarily agree with it. I think it's incumbent on us, and it's part of our service, is to be genuinely open, even when the political imperative might make us go a different way. But we are here to serve, and yes, we're political. All three of us are aligned to a political party, and we believe that very strongly. But often we come at things from a different way. But where I think we can, as Christians, and we should try to do this as much as possible, is just remember that, you know, God created us all equal. We are all equal before Him. We've all got divine presence in ourselves, and we have to think about that. So when someone's coming to you with a different point of view, or even if they're very strongly opposed to what you're saying, and it, you might not be able to resolve it, actually. You know, you might have to leave that meeting saying, I'm really sorry, we do disagree, but just to give them that time and compassion. And that's, I mean, I try to do that, Tim. I'm not going to be completely frank that I'll always achieve it, because on a busy Friday when you've had 25 meetings and it's 7 o'clock and you still need to go out leafleting, it's not always easy, but I certainly wake up in the morning and remind myself that I try to do that.
I have for me, I think the reminder that we are all made in the image of God, which means any person who I encounter, whether they're nice to me or not, they have an immensely lofty status, and therefore I owe them to treat them graciously and to be truthful with them. And it should I think it should affect our conduct. So, and I not with us today, but a brother in the Lord is Danny Kruger, Conservative MP, and I recall being in a debate. It would be a debate on asylum, I think, in the last Parliament. So I'll confess that's a thing I feel quite passionately about. And I saw Danny on the other side of the chamber, and it was a wonderful reminder, because I may have been, I probably would have been, shall we say, less gracious if I hadn't seen him there. And it was a reminder to play the ball and not the man, so to speak. You can be passionate and angry about stuff, but in your anger do not sin. And so it's a reminder that we can be stronger. We don't have to be sopperly neutral about stuff. If stuff's wrong and you believe it to be wrong, you should say so. But you can nevertheless treat people on the other side of the argument and people out there in general as though they are what they are, made in the image of God, and therefore they're lofty and they're significant and they are worth your patience above all else. So, yeah, Ruth, I think I miscalled you in that sense. If you came in 2019, but April 2019, so you did go through those last few months. You were there when Theresa May fell and Boris Johnson began. Those votes, they were all incredibly close, and some of them felt really tough. What was it like back in your constituency during that time?
Yeah, you're right, Tim. It was very, very close. And I suppose I came into, and my lovely predecessor, Paul Flynn, who sadly died, that's the reason I'm here, he was carried in on a stretcher a couple of times. You know, ladies about to give birth were like, you hang on, you've got to vote first, you know. Those sorts of knife-edge votes, which then we went into a massive majority in 19, and it's like, oh, we can relax now, because, oof, you know, not every person voting matters, which is a shame in a way, but it takes the pressure off you, because, you know, we were here till, 2 o'clock in the morning and all the rest of it, whereas now it's a different, well, even, you know, 19 and now is different, because the majorities are so much bigger, they make a difference, yeah.
Yes. I think when we look at, you know, what it's been like being a Christian during those times, I suppose we might also think that there have been times when, if you are a Christian, you're told that if it makes you feel good and keeps you calm and sane during these tough times, that's fine. You kind of cling on to that. That's good for you. But what you mustn't do, Tim, Rachel and Ruth, is bring your faith into the room with you. You mustn't go imposing your Christianity on anybody else. I particularly, coming closer to where we are today, would cite that that's been used a lot from one side of the argument during the assisted dying debate. Now, whatever one's view on assisted dying, Lord Faulkner was very much on the record saying that a Muslim member of the government who was motivated to vote against assisted dying and cited her faith as a motivator for that. But if you are a Christian, yes, believe that if you like, but you need to park that at the door before you go into Parliament or make any decisions. Is that something you've come across, Rachel, in your time in Parliament?
I think that's just a generally accepted thing, isn't it? And I think I have to say, Tim, it's a massive credit to you, because, you know, you have been very outspoken on some of this, and I know it's caused you some personal angst, you know, in some parts. You wrote a book, which we read in our household, and I don't know if people...
It was you, was it?
...audience have read the book.
glad someone bought it.
And my husband. We read the book, yes.
£2.50 in a charity basket.
Two sales. Anyway, but I think that there are... what surprised me actually when I came into Parliament was that people were talking about their faith, actually. That was the thing that surprised me, not that they weren't. So the fact that there were people who were sort of aligned across the chamber on issues like, for example, abortion or assisted dying, although it didn't come up really that much when I was an MP, but obviously it is very salient now. But there were a few things where it did come in. Even in the sort of asylum and refugee space, it came in. But, I mean, those are very interesting philosophically, aren't they? Because, you know, probably you and I would have completely opposing views on policy. And that would be where, in a sense, you know, there's some very famous fallings out with various bishops falling out with members of my party, saying that it's unchristian to have these views, and obviously I would argue very strongly that it's not, and that, you know, it's not for the media to interpret what the view of the policy or what Jesus would have done now. But I think it should be a space where actually if we're driven by faith and belief, we should be able to say those things out loud. I haven't actually brought it into my debate and speaking that much. I think for me it's more about living out the values and trying to sort of be a good person as much as any of us can, very humbly, rather than doing that. But it's more of a personal thing for me to give me that strength to keep going.
Ruth, do you think it's okay to have your politics informed by your faith?
Yeah, I think everyone is informed because your background decides, you know, how you get into this place, which party you go for and everything. So I think your background is... My faith, you know, as I say, I was a Christian when I was 14, so it's been the majority of my life. And it does inform what you do. And talking to the people, the Christian friends, you know, talking to the atheist friends also informs you and makes you think, oh, yeah, I know why I'm doing this because I'm not doing... You know, it gives you that debate, if you like, to make sure that there are... You know why you're doing something, and I think that's the important thing in this place. You need to know why you're going through this lobby to vote for this or whatever, and I think that's the important thing. As long as you're clear that, you know, your conscience is clear, you're doing this because... And we, you know, as Rachel said, we will go through different voting lobbies, even though we're Christians and we share the same faith, but that doesn't mean we will always share the same policy or the same voting record.
Absolutely. Are we going to go to the audience in a minute, just to warm you up and get you ready for it being your turn. But I wondered if we might just reflect for a moment. I mean, as people who are involved in politics, do you get Christians talking to you? I certainly do, who feel kind of exhausted or terrified by what's going on in the world at the moment. Russia, America, Ukraine, Israel, Gaza, a whole range of conflicts. The world feels more unstable, more unsafe. Politics feels more polarised, more scary than perhaps it has done, certainly for, say, 40 years or so. What do we say to Christians out there who just want to turn the news off and stop paying attention because it's all just too horrible? Rachel?
I say it's fine, turn it off. Honestly, I hardly ever watch it, you know. And actually what I found was when we've gone through sort of quite turbulent times, I would sort of go to church on Sunday in my village and they would say, oh, we're so glad you're all there. And, we saw you voted this way, whatever, a bit like you said. But we're just glad that you're there because we know you're there for what we think are the right reasons. And actually that's your job. It's to go there and make those decisions. And so that's how I thought about it.
Thanks, Rachel. Ruth?
Yeah, and I suppose turning it around the other way, I go to different churches across my patch, and they always say, without fail, we pray for you every week. Mm. And that is such a comfort to me to know that. And, you know, they may not agree with my politics, but they know as a Christian I'm here and they know my story and all the rest of it. And they will say, no, we pray for you every week. And in my own church, chapel, it's you know, the support I get from them. You know, my minister is fabulous. He'll talk to me about assisted diet, you know, and we'll talk to other men. It's really important that we talk and we share, because I think that's this place can make you feel, oh, I better not say, oh, that might be frowned upon, and oh, it's not the right thing to say in this group. No, it is, you know, and you need to have the courage of your convictions, literally, to say, actually, can I just talk to you about whatever? And I think that's really important in this place because sometimes you get a bit muted. I mean, let's be honest, there's a lot of us Labour MPs now. There's hundreds of us. And you could get lost in the mix. And I think that's really important that we tell people we're here for a reason and the reason is God.
Yeah. And I wonder, really, when we think about the state of the world, what one thing to remember is it's always been like this in different ways. You know, if you think, you know, I grew up under the shadow of the bomb, so to speak. I remember walking down Preston High Street, down Fishergate Hill when I was 14, and the laundrette down there wasn't a laundrette anymore. It was a nuclear fallout shelter showroom, 1984. I was utterly terrified. And that was the year, I think, Threads came out, if you're of a certain age. It's so, you know, these are scary times, but aren't they all? And God is sovereign throughout all of those times. So we're going to take a very quick break now. When we come back, the three of us will still be here, and it will be the audience asking the questions, not me.
That was part one of our panel discussion for A Mucky Business, live from the Houses of Parliament. Part two is coming soon.